want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
How do you want to see you? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Amen. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. You love him? Did I, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. Remember casting your crowns before him. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see you. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to follow along in the scriptures, turn to Revelations 1 and 1 Peter 1, where we've been reading. Remember the announcements. The ministers' meeting for the ministers only will be here this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock until, and there will be a dinner being served and everything, and you know, some of you have volunteered to help June taking care of things, and I know that if Abel, my wife, will be here to try to help doing in some of the things, but just remember that. And then there will be a fellowship meeting at Brother Tom Kershane's on the third Saturday. If you want to go with us, let us know. Be leaving here about 10 o'clock, going up for the meeting there. So remember these announcements. Is that all the announcements? Am I missing anything? I generally do, but all right. Revelations 1 and 1 Peter 1. Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our all in all. And Lord, that wonderful name of Jesus is where we can ask all of these things and depend upon receiving from you. We pray that you would just bless each and every one of us with understanding this afternoon. And Lord, guide each and every one. Lord, remember those that are not here, the ones that are traveling and the things. You just be with each one and bless and guide and have your way in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. As we read your word, now come and speak to our hearts. Because, Lord, we can talk about these things, but without you in our presence, then it's just a meaningless gathering. But have your way now and keep us and show us thy grace and love. Help us to walk in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now into 1 Peter 1, verse 9 through 13. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now remember the thought of our message this morning. This book that we're going to speak on this afternoon is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? So then there must be things within the book that, you know, is taking some time to come to the position to understand, to be able to receive and to walk into. It took the prophet the times and all, because he didn't understand everything when he started, and he kept unfolding to him, and he kept preaching what he could see. And we saw that it was the right hand of God is the power of God, because that's there in Revelations 5:1 where we're reading, and we'll read in a minute and get started again. But, you know, we've seen that it was the right hand. He had the book in his right hand. It wasn't in the left hand. Right? So it was in the right hand for a meaning. And then the right hand means power and authority. So then he was raised to the right hand. And we read the scriptures there this morning that it was the right hand that raised him to that position. The power of God brought Jesus Christ unto the position to be able to, sit on that throne and to be able to see and understand the point of what it's doing. It's not a great big right hand. It means power and authority. All right. Then we ended up speaking about that authority is now in the hands of the bride of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, so what about the authority now? This was a point I was trying to get across. See, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Well, then where is, as we quoting this morning and all and talking about it, because you ought to know these quotes, that Brother Brown said, then where is any other God? Said he, if there is, he'd be powerless. So Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. Well, now, Brother Dale, you just don't understand that. The Father gave so much, and the Holy Ghost gave so much, and put it all to Jesus. Well, you know, you just don't understand either. So that's the main problem. All right. See, that would bring in too many people and too many thoughts. And, you know, like we talk about, we don't believe in eternal sonship, because how could a son be eternal? But we do believe in eternal Godship. Jesus was Almighty God made manifest in flesh. All right? And then when he raised from the dead, he said, all power is given unto me. And then he turned right around and gave that power back to the church. All right? Now, he had already, while he was here, see, I didn't have time to bring the message, but while he was here, he even living, he gave the disciples power. Told them to go out and preach the gospel, cast out devils, heal the sick, etc., and all like that. And they wound up in trouble. You remember with the epileptic child that they couldn't cast out the demon, and he said it was because of their unbelief, not because of the power. Now, I had a quote there this morning that I should have read, I'm sure, but Brother Brown says, in other words, if God ever gives you anything, he can't take it back. Now, that's just as much as we can be. If he gives you something and you say, well, I had this, but, you know, God took it back. No, God didn't take it back. You say, I used to be able to do this and be able to do that, but God took it away from me. Now, don't get tied up with what Brother Branham was saying when he said that God took that gift away from him for about 5 years, because that can happen. That's in ministries and doings. I'm talking about salvation or the power of Almighty God living in our lives. It was the fact that he had, you know, he had wronged God and not followed the way he was supposed to, and God took away what was that part. All right. But see, the power and authority, the right hand, is now in the bride of Jesus Christ. Because when you see him, he's in chapter 1 of Revelation. You see him in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with a golden girdle. See, that puts all of God there in that form. And we believe that the thing that the prophet said, all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he pours into the church. All right? So then that makes us part of the mystery and makes us with that same power. You say, well, but I just don't see it. Well, that's where the trouble is. The trouble is we're not looking correctly. We're looking for something to happen. We're looking for another prophet to come or somebody to come out with gifts and signs and wonders. And I've told you over and over, I preached this from day one here at the church, probably over 40 years. I believe that no person, one person, can have the ministry of Jesus Christ, again, like Brother Branham had it. One person. I do not believe in it, because it's not promised. But I do believe that the bride of Jesus Christ, that it's promised to her around the world. I emphasize that, around the world, that it's promised to her, to where that the fullness of the Godhead bodily would be in the bride of Jesus Christ. See, then you say, but I just don't see it. Well, then that's making you the unbeliever. And if you'd have been here when Jesus was here, you would have been the same thing. No, I'd have believed if I was here when Jesus. Now you're a liar, because Brother Brown said you wouldn't. All right? Sorry. But that's plain, but it's true, right? See, we think it's supposed to change things because somebody else could be here. All right? See, David, the killing Goliath, was only to get the people to fight in their own battle. Right? Brother Branham came to show us what God would do in any individual that would believe him. All right? And we're not to deal with the ministry, but we're to deal with the same God, because the same God has got to be in the ministry around the world. All right? But see, it all ties up and makes one true and living God. All right? So we see that the power and authority of Almighty God is in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. All right? Because that is his hand. That's his power. There's your seven stars. There's all of the church age messengers and God, you know, doing, all tied up, bringing it down to seeing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right. Now, remember that we kept emphasizing the fact that Revelation 5, the prophet said, is a scene preparing for the opening of the seals. All right, preparing. And I kept talking about that. I've kept over and over talking about it. You're preparing for a wedding. You spend days, weeks, months getting ready for one little event. You know, it ties up maybe 2 hours of your day. But yet you've prepared for it for 6 months or more, you know, getting everything ready. Well, then when the day comes, that's where I like the point. See, that when the wedding comes, you know, and when that bride steps in that door back there to come down the altar, you're really literally supposed to lock the door. See, where those lazy bunch of shiftless bums, they can't get here on time, but they think the world evolves around them, and they're in a puffed up manner, you know. Well, it closed the door on me. If you'd have got here before the time of the bride coming down. Sorry, I'm plain. But is that true? Well, now you don't understand. I like if you talk like that. But what if you was the bride? And what if you was the groom? Do you understand? If I was the groom and my wife being the bride, I wouldn't care if it was my mother and daddy that didn't get there. I wouldn't stop the wedding to let them come in. You know why? Because God ain't going to stop it for those petty little feelings of ours. One of these days, the door's going to be closed. And it don't matter what we think about it. It's going to be over. So what if you was the bride? And somebody comes in the door, I got to have a seat. And give him one. Swift kick in the seat to send him on his way. Why? Because this is a serious matter. See? We're talking about reality. I'm not talking about your petty feelings. All right? Listen. Now, if you've caught on to something, I told you we would get into Revelation 5. And I made statements along the way to help you, for you to write them down and be ready. Because according to the prophet, Revelation 5 is a background or a preparing for chapter 6 to come into being of the opening of the seals. Right? Now I've emphasized that over and over and over. We got to be in the right place. Everything's about to be in position. All right. Now, you don't see what you see in what you see in chapter 4 is there manifest in chapter 5 of the one sitting on the throne. But it doesn't emphasize the throne and the things as much as it emphasizes the one that's sitting on the throne. The right hand. The power. All right? The authority. And also, there's a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And remember, it's in the right hand. It's not in the left hand. It's in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. Now, the background for the opening of the seven seals is for you and me that are the chosen of God to see that we must prepare ourselves for the opening. And I said it this morning, and I'll say it again then. What do you mean? The seals broke to the prophet. He said, it's gone from you, and you don't know it. Just because that Brother Branham was here and that God came to Brother Branham, and I agree with that, I believe it, yeah. But does that make God coming to me and you? God came in 63, Brother Dale, I'll have you to understand. Who to? Where was you at in 63? Where was I at in 63? Tied up in organized religion. Yes, but the Lord came. He did. He came to the prophet. It don't make it automatically come into us because did it come to him? Has the Lord come to you? Brother Branham, let's see, I'll make the statement. It's in the seal book. He said, has he through the opening of these seals revealed himself to you? Yeah, but you say, well, Brother Dale, you sound like you're trying to get the seals opened again. Oh, I'm glad you thought of that. I'm trying to get them to open to you and me. That's who I want it to reveal to us, me and you. I want it open to me and you. I want to see it for myself. I just believe the prophet. Well, amen. Wonderful. Now, what about you? I told you this morning, and you wouldn't dare, so you wouldn't know it. A good Baptist doctrine. If you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got it. Because it come on the day of Pentecost. Brother Dick, go find you one and ask him, is that the way he believes it? How do you believe about getting a new birth? I believe I got it because come on death Pentecost. Well, now that's 2,000 years between the event, right? And you talking about it. All right, where were we at in 63? Huh? That's what, 50? Well, my mind slipped on that. How do you count it? How many years would that be? About 50-something, 49 or whatever. Like 50 years ago. It came to Brother Branham. But there's a lot of distance in between there. A lot of you weren't even born. Right? You see what I'm talking about? If you say, well, that's happened because, and that's the way people think. You say, no, Brother Dale, you don't understand. I'm sorry, that's what hurts my heart. I do understand. I understand the hindrance in you and I to understand God's Word. Yeah. These, of course, a lot of people then believe that Brother Branham just come to make a way for them, you know, I mean, to introduce them. Not meaning bride form, one form, you know, to take over. You've heard of those. You've been around them, you know, that they claim to be the one Brother Branham come to introduce. Well, I don't. I believe he come to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. And then tell us where that's at. Because that's in you and I. All right. Now, you might find out then, eventually, that we're talking about you and I. Now, we're talking about the bride all the way through, but there was never to be a group of people to understand this book. We'll get to it in a minute. What would you believe if I could read to you where, even in Jeremiah, where it was sealed up in an earthly vessel? And that earthly vessel become flesh and lived upon this earth. Still sealed up about him until the end time in this message that is brought to you and I. What are we doing here 40, 50 years after the prophet passing on? You know, Brother Branham done a lot of typing and things, and you remember the little widow woman there and her son? And said her husband had died during the drought. And her and her little boy was left alone. You remember the two sticks and going to make the bread and eat, you know, and die. He said her husband, her denomination. Now you remember a few weeks ago when I was trying to ask that question. Is our whole husband dead? Our old husband is our carnal thinking about the Bible. That's our denominational husband. It's what we have figured out for ourselves. Well, boy, you don't believe in nothing but Brother Branham. I'm glad you thought of that, too. Because I believe in that's what it's bringing. He brought us the message. But now it's an individual affair. This is not a corporate thing, you know, or what you call it, a group therapy. This is an individual affair. That's why one person sat right beside the other person and go into rapture and the other person totally missed it. It's not a group therapy. It's not a husband and wife affair. If your children are old enough for the age of accountability, they must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or they don't go with you. I've preached that. Those under the age of accountability will be under their mothers and fathers, yes. If they are born again Christians, you know. True bride. But once you reach the age of accountability, children, teenagers, whatever, you are responsible. You're not going because of an automatic process that mom and daddy's going. You're going to have your own Holy Ghost. All right. You know, watch that as we get through, because the background, as I said, the preparation for you and I to be able to understand the seals is to realize that He has chosen you and I for a purpose. And we must prepare ourselves for that purpose. Now, what is our purpose? The purpose of this end time bride, I thought, according to the Bible, that they without us cannot be made perfect. I thought everything is waiting on somebody to reach a position. Yeah. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I hope I get back to the message at the end of it. I want to just ask you a simple question. Do you believe redemption is over? Do you believe redemption's over? What about it? You know that if redemption's over, the Lamb has left the mercy seat. You agree? But you know, if it's not over, He hasn't left the mercy seat. Now, what are you going to do with all of your great ideas about the seals and the things? When the seals can't be revealed until the Lamb leaves the mercy seat. Oh. Strange talking, Brother Dale. See, what you're saying, if you're saying that God come in 63 and the Lamb left the mercy seat in 63, then redemption was over in 63. Knocks out 98% of what's here, doesn't it? Come on. But if you believe that Brother Branham saw this by revelation, that it was not an actual happening, it was a revelation of what was to take place, then you can believe redemption is still here. Do I need to repeat that again? How many of you believe redemption's over? Well, you'd say, no, I don't believe it's over. Well, then the Lamb ain't left the mercy seat. And if the Lamb ain't left the mercy seat, how did the seals get broke? You'll see one of these days what I've drove at for 40-something years. Prophet can see things past, present, and future before it ever takes place. Bride can see past, present, and future by way of the prophet's message, and it ain't come to pass yet. You need a quote? Brother Brown said the seals reveal what has been, what is, and what will be. I'd write that down. I'd put it in my memory bank to think about it. Well, Brother Dale, the seals broke to the prophet in 63. Did the Lamb leave the mercy seat? If it is, the biggest portion of you sitting out there and me too, because my salvation come later, Now, I was a good Baptist under salvation in 63, but my salvation, really born-again experience, was 69. So, you know, that'd just take all of us out, just about it. And you'd be lost. So what do you believe? So if you can't put that together, I think what you need to do is just to say, let me just listen a little bit. Maybe this man knows what he's talking about. As I said this morning when Brother Moat said that about the one God to me, I had no way to argue with him. I knew that. So it was time to shut up and listen. Maybe that's time. Well, you're trying to build yourself up. Good for you thinking that way. Because there's never been but one that this man's ever exalted, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know where it all comes from and what I get and what does and all I get, so I don't worry about it. But I just ask you a simple question.
Hell, Brazil, I don't like that because questions gender strife.
The prophet said questions makes a strong church. Now, what are you going to do? Two quotes fighting each other? What is your settlement in your mind? See, I love for you to be able to just sit down and talk about your own experience. I love to hear people's experiences of how the Lord led you and how you received Him as your personal Savior. Maybe you might find out, and I'll get off of that then, that I'm not talking about a future event. I'm trying to speak something that is here, a reality. If not, when will it be here? Right? Now then, let me make a life statement and we'll move on. You know that the children of Israel could not leave Egypt . Moses tried to free them. Is that true? Killed a dead Egyptian. That's right. You know he had to go, even though he was God's prophet, ordained a prophet, even though he met the burning bush at the in the mountain and all of those things and saw God personal, he sat out there for 40 years. You know what he's waiting on? The prophet said he's waiting on the readiness of the people. He said the right Pharaoh had to be on the throne. What would have happened if Moses had walked back down there with his old papa Pharaoh, you know, that was on the throne when... You remember the story that thought he was one of them and raised him and honored him, was going to make him the next ruler of Egypt. The old boy had to be dead. New Pharaoh had to come up. Just like it was with Joseph, had to be one that didn't know Joseph. Just talking. What are we looking for? And when are we going to start believing what is taking place? Now, with all of this in mind, what does it say in Revelation 5? And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. All right? Let's talk about that book. What kind of a book is it? What kind of a book is back there? I've heard people say, I'm not joking, you've heard it too probably. I've heard people say the King James Version is good enough for Peter and Paul. is good enough for me. You ever heard that? Now, that's a good saying, isn't it? That really shows spirituality, doesn't it? When the days of Peter and Paul and them, there wasn't no King James Version. The King James Version was the 1611 is the original King James Version. And you can argue with me all you want to and say that Bible on the front of it is King James Version. But you better look in the front. It'll say a revised 1911 or 1909, 1911, 1917. And it's just revised and revised and revised. And, you know, I got one called it says right down here, King James Version. You ever seen a King James Version? 1611? World and them used to have them, but how much did they have? So the church one time, after I kept talking about the 1611, you know, somebody, I don't know who it was, went on the internet and they found a 1611 edition. They bought me one. It's about that thick. The original King James Version, the 1611, it's about that thick. Surprising to me how big it was. All right? But you get what I'm talking about? You see how spiritual we are? If the King James Version good enough for Peter and Paul, that's good enough for me. And I'll take that red letter edition. And that's why, now you've run into these, I'm sure, that's why we baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said in red letter. You say, well, what about Peter? I'll take what Jesus said over what Peter said. You've heard that one? See, that's how spiritual we are. Okay? You know what? And we believe it so much that way that we think God's going to change and fit that way of thinking. You know what? I don't think he will. I'm just honest. Trying to be just straight, plain to you and me. Because you see, when John wrote this, was AD 95, 96, somewhere right in there. At that time, you didn't have what you call a book. The original translation doesn't say book. It says scroll. This didn't come into existence until of a book form until just a few hundred years ago. You know, the printing press and the things we put out, and they finally made what we call a book form. All right. Now, so the original book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, without spending a lot of time to emphasize a lot on it, it would not be a Thompson Chain or a Scofield edition, you know. It'd be a scroll. The word book would come into being later. So when they translated it into the King James Version, then is when you pick it up where it come up with the word book, because it had become into that form of understanding. So it was a scroll. We're familiar with those words, and we talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls, the things, and when we were in Israel, we were wonderful to be able to go there and view the places where that they, the monastery type of thing that they had, where they were there and they're doing the writings of those things and stored up those scrolls into the caves and the things. And you know that Israel, not thinking anything about the New Testament, because a lot of people, when you say Dead Sea Scrolls, they're thinking of Old Testament scrolls. There was only partial Old Testament scrolls in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Go look it up. Those were the scrolls, or the writings of the basic, what we call the New Testament. It wasn't altogether the Old Testament. It wasn't altogether the New. There's some of the full books, like Isaiah, I think, is one for certain. that was in those, what they call the Dead Sea Scrolls. And you know that Israel thinks so much of those things until they have this in this great big building, and they have it, and they have it kind of round where you can walk around, and, you know, you can see the books and the things that was made, and that was amazing to me. But, you know, they think so much until they just didn't put the Old Testament scrolls in there. They put all those scrolls that they found. And they have it almost bomb-proof. They said if any warning came whatsoever of an attack, that whole thing collapses inward and goes down into the ground to make it as bomb-proof as possible. They think that much of your New Testament scrolls. All right. Now, you know in the scrolls what they done, that the only way you got a scroll, if you were going to have a new church, is you had somebody to write it. And they say that that's actually what that Lazarus was doing. And every time in the Bible that they come to that G-D, they would get up and go take a bath before they would write that word, because it was so honorable. That's the story behind Lazarus, that he died from taking too many baths, because that's what he was doing. He was writing those scrolls or copying them. And he had to have everything just perfect, because one little move would entirely change the meaning in the writings. It was the scrolls. You've heard the story of how Brother Brandon was talking about the mark, you know, was part of the torn off. That's because those scrolls had deteriorated around the end, and, you know, because of the weather condition, because they were just stored up in a cave. They were not in a vault or in this, they were in caves. Amazing situation for God to be able to preserve those things, you know, to be able to keep them. But it's a scroll. All right? Now, we'll read this in a minute from Brother Branham, so you'll know it's not my idea. So those scrolls would be rolled up. You know, they're parchment, or what you call animal skins, you know. And then they were rolled up. All right. Then when it was rolled up, see, then you would tie it, and you'd put a tag on there of what that was. Now, you can argue whether this roll is the tag or a tag on top of a roll. That's what you want to do. I ain't going to argue with you about it. I'm just trying to make an illustration. So each one of those scrolls would be there, and you'd just have a tag sticking out. And it would say Isaiah, you know. So you wouldn't be going through having to unroll every scroll to try to find out what the books were. A lot of them show it rolling inward this way, you know. A lot of them show one roll. I don't know, but, you know, a lot of them is rolled out that way and went, all right. I ain't concerned about that. My point is to just illustrate something. If you took this kind of a book and you put seven straps on it, you've put something outside the book. And that's what people think, that the great mystery of the seventh seal is something outside the book. So they can make it anything they want it to be. Right? I've illustrated it by telling you what Margaret, Brother Gary's first wife, you know, was. We were eating and we were talking about this situation. And I said, you know, people believe that the great mystery of the seventh seal is that, you know, you can have all the wives you want. And, you know, I said, but now you can get, you know, your own revelation is what they think, you know. And Sister Margaret, she was very quiet, didn't speak a whole lot. But she simply looked over to me and she said, if that be right, Brother Dale, then I'll get the revelation. I can take my 357 and blow Gary's head off. I said, Sister, I agree with you. Because if you can make it one thing, you can make it another. Right? But see, why would it be written? I'm just saying this part about it, but I'm not trying to argue with anybody about the written within on the backside or whatever. I'm just saying, and I'll read you in a little bit, if it was this kind of book, it'd have seven straps added to it. That's what he said. No seven straps would be outside the book. But if it's a scroll and simply rolled up, you can tie it with a string. And like I said, you wouldn't want to open every one of them and try to find out what it is. So you would just put a little tag some way attached that would say Isaiah, Jeremiah, see? Then you could reach down and get the book. That is the only way to understand what Revelation 5 says. You notice I said the only way to understand what Revelation 5 says. It says a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Then when you come to the seals, what is it? Unroll it. White horse rider. Do you make it a book? And what have you got? We'll read that in just a minute. So that's just getting a point in your mind for you to think about. So it couldn't be an ordinary book. You would be adding to. And if you had something on the outside of the book, then you would be contrary to what the book itself says. The book itself, according to the Bible and according to the prophet, said it was in the beginning a sin caused a problem, an adding to. He said in the middle of the book they're trying to add to. And he said in the end of the book it says, if you add to, he'll add the plagues that are written in the book. But if you take away, he'll take away your name out of the book. But just let it be a scroll. Let it be a scroll and just roll it up. Because ever what you want to think, that's what it was. And see a tab to tell you what that is. And now you haven't added to the book. The tab is only telling you what's there. You see, we don't realize we're trying to add to the Bible. If it is something like this book and it's outside, what are you going to do? You would add to, so that then whatever your idea is of what's added to would be just as good as anybody else's idea. The seals was written in the book. You say, only six of them. I beg your pardon, Revelation 8:1 said when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven. Brother Brown said, see there, it's opened. Of course, you got a lot of doctrines in the message now that some say it's not open and some say it is opened. The Bible plainly says it's opened. It was in the book, but there was no writing. It's just silence in heaven. All right? But think about that now as we go along. Okay? We don't want to add to the book, but we don't want to take away from the book. Now, so look what your prophet, go ahead and pull up number one, brother. Brother Bob, I guess, is back there. Now let's read what your prophet has to say. Paragraph 43 through 45 of the first seal, 63 through 18. Now the seventh seal roll book is now being released by the Lamb. We approach that place tonight. God help us. As the seals are broken and released, the mysteries of the book are revealed. Now you see, this is a sealed book. Now we believe that, do we not? We believe that it is a sealed book. Now, we never know this before. But it is. It's sealed with seven seals. That is, on the back of the book is sealed with seven seals. Now, that's exactly like he's saying there's seven seals wrote on the back, right? If we was talking about this kind of book, it would be like putting a strap across it. Seven straps. But it isn't this kind of a book. It's a scroll. And then when the scroll is unwound, that's one. Then laying right in the scroll is number two. And right here it says what it is. But it's a mystery. But yet we have probed in it. But remember, the book is sealed. And the book is a book of mystery, of redemption. Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, see? A book of revelation. Now you know down through the ages, man has probed and tried to get into that. We all have. All right. What is it? Look at the next one. The breach. Matthew 63:3-17. See, a seal in the old Bible was like a roll, like this, and here was a mystery. And this mystery was hidden. All right, it was sealed around and put here, the claim to so-and-so. Then the next mystery was wrapped around of what this inheritance was and stuck out here on this side, the claim to so-and-so, and went on down until it made a scroll. Because people didn't have books like this then. It was in a roll. How many knows that? Called a scroll. Well, a sealed scroll, you could break loose one here, what the mystery of this was, and tear it loose, and you could see what the claim was, and then break the other one loose and see what that claim was. So it's a scroll. All right. Number three. Taken from the first seal, 318, paragraph 6. For instance, if I had something here, I'd show you what I mean. Here is one seal, that's one. And you roll it up like this, the way it was rolled, and you roll it up in this manner. And at the end, there's a little piece sticking out like that. Remember, roll it, little tab, little piece sticking out. That's the first seal, all right? Then that's the first part of the book. Then the next seal is rolled in this manner, right by the side of it. And it's rolled up in this manner like here, and then at the end right here, there's another sticking out, means two seals. And that's the way the whole Bible was wrote and scrolled. And so to break these seals, it opens the mysteries of the book. All right. Look at the next one. The breach, 63:3-17, Eden service. But in the last age, all these mysteries are to be solved and handed out, and the seals are to be opened by the Lamb and revealed to the church. And then time is no more. See how wonderful? Then the book, then, is the book of redemption, where it goes ahead and brings in later on how the 144,000 brought in and so forth. Now, it's the book of redemption. Right. And it's sealed with seven seals. So now I ask you the question again. Is redemption over? People argue right now probably. But was it over in 63 when the seals broke to the prophet? Where would you be? But see, for it to be revealed to the prophet didn't mean the Lamb had left the mercy seat. Because if you read the breach, you'll find these statements. When he leaves the mercy seat, he becomes down here. We'll get to it in the next service or so. That the Lamb is the one that breaks the seals. But John was told the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When redemption's over, he becomes a lion. Until redemption's over, he's a lamb. What about it? Or was it what I've always tried to get you to see, that in 1963, God revealed to the prophet what those seals were? Just like in 1958, he revealed to the prophet, and he tied it together and preached a message called Serpent Seed. Is that right? Did he come here knowing everything, or did it open as he went through? So to say today, brother, I want to preach on the opening of these seals. Does that mean redemption's over? Or does it mean it's revealed to us what is under those seals? Abraham, I cannot hold from you anything. You know, Isaiah wrote an entire Bible, clean down to the tribulation and the millennium and the things. Was it over because Isaiah wrote it? It hadn't even started, had it? Just where we think. That we think we're so smart. We think we're so revelated. But if we just get it down to the basis of seeing that those seals broke to the prophet, because he was a prophet, and then he could tell us what they were. But as I started off, then it's got to be revealed to you and I. Right? What kind of a book is it? All right. We know for certainty that Brother Brown said, see there? There was a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, and he said, this lamb come up and took the book out of the hand. He said, now that wasn't no animal. You remember that? I gave it to you. He said, that had to be a man, because the animal was not qualified. So that wasn't a lamb that took the book out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne. The lamb couldn't do it. He couldn't qualify. It had to be a kinsman redeemer. Right. So what are we thinking about? Brother Branham calls it another point. I want to just lay these down a little bit. So go ahead to number 5. And look what he calls it. This is the breach, 63:317, the evening. He's talking about this forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner, Almighty God. The title deed to the earth and to eternal life. When Adam forfeited it, Satan's dirty hands could not take it. So it went back to the original owner, God himself. Now that's enough right there. With that one little sentence is enough to let me know that we're missing the point of what it is. If it had been a scroll book that you're just talking about, those are for illustrations. Because if it had been just a scroll book, Satan could have got his hands on it. He could have marred it, right? So it's not just a book. It's not just a scroll, then. It's the plan of redemption. Is what did he say it was? We're going to find it in just a minute. There he sits on the throne with it in his hand. The book. In his right hand. But what does he call it? The title deed. Oh, that makes me feel religious, friends. The title deed to eternal life. Abstract title deed to eternal life. When Adam forfeited for wisdom and instead of faith, it went back to the hands of the owner. Almighty God, what a great thing. Rain on that where we can get together. 118. Waiting for redemption's claim. It's redemption. What is this book of redemption? This title deed, abstract title deed. You say abstract. What does an abstract mean? It means it searched all the way back to its beginning. Like that little drop of ink this morning, when it struck that bleach, it went all the way back. And when sin has been confessed and fallen into the blood of Jesus Christ, oh man, it gives an abstract right straight back to the Creator again, and you become a son of God. Abstract title deed is held in the hand of the Almighty. Now he calls it an abstract title deed. It's a deed to eternal life. You know, you don't have an abstract for your property, I'm sorry. You can claim you own your property, I'm sorry. You own it as long as the government is doing. The Indian has the abstract. We don't have an abstract. If you don't have your home searched back when you buy one, be real careful. They only run a possible 20-year connection to your deeds unless you pay an extra amount of money. You got to pay more money to get a form of what is even close to an abstract. And you can think this is crazy, but I experienced it. We got ready to build a house. We had bought this land from the man. We paid the man for the land. We had the deed to the land. As a matter of fact, we paid him monthly payments, and he wrote the receipt on the deed. And we had every bit of that, but we got ready to borrow money on our home, 65 there, we're building in Gillsville, and the bank says you don't own it. That because somebody's got an older deed than you've got. Come find it out, the man that used to own the property had put the property up against a bill for buying food and supplies for the farm, you know, and seed and stuff. And the man that went to church with us, the man that was actually new, he said, I remember when the man done that, but he said, we were supposed to cancel that out, but said we didn't do it. See, that man could have took my property. See, you better try to think about abstract. Now listen, going to church and being good, you get a deed to eternal life when you believe. You notice the way I said it. You get a deed to eternal life when you believe. You remember? See, I've preached on this many, many years ago, plenty of time. But when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get an abstract title deed. Satan can't take it away. He can take it away from you, justification and sanctification. Because you're just believing unto. But he can't take it away when you're born again. An abstract title deed. So he calls this book in the hand of the one on the throne an abstract title deed. The plan of redemption. All right. Let's see something else he talks about. Pull number 6 up. Off the first seal, paragraph 33. You see, the book actually was planned. Now, he's talking about the book in the hand of the one on the throne, right? Everybody understand me? See, the book actually was planned and written before the foundation of the world. Now, the book in the hand of the one on the throne was planned and written before the foundation of the world. This book, the Bible, listen to it, was really written before the foundation of the world. what the Bible says, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, all names were written before the foundation of the world, right? So the Bible was written before the foundation of the world. Christ being the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And the members of his bride, their names were put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. But it's been sealed up. It's been sealed up about our names being written there. We didn't understand that when we was in the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. We could read of predestination and foreknowledge and foundation of the world and a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But what was our thoughts about that? Just be honest with yourself. What was your thoughts about that then? The members of the bride, their names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, but it's been sealed up. And now it's being revealed whose names were in there, all about it. What a great thing. Old John, when he saw it, he said, everything in heaven, everything under the earth, everything heard him saying, amen and blessings and honor. He just really was having a great time, for the Lamb was worthy. Now, what kind of a book is it then? Or is it a scroll? I'm just asking simple questions. See, we want to put a defining statement upon a book or a scroll or something. But we just read that Brother Branham said that the forfeited title deed, the abstract title deed, when Adam forfeited it, it went back to the hand of the original owner. He said, and we see him on the throne holding the book. Now, do we need to read that again? Abstract title deed. Names is all that's in that book. And it was called the Bible. The Bible is only names. If you took the names out of the book, you'd have very few pages of writings, right? You know, took them out, laid them down, wrote them down. So what's doing it? Before the foundation of the world, God had a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. That's not the Book of Life with the split sections in it to where your names can be transferred, etc. We're talking about the Lamb's Book of Life, the eternal life. All right? See, then when you come forth with what we then call today the Bible, see, the Bible would have only been Adam, Eve, Abel, Seth. Right? Are you following me? I run out of fingers and things to be able to illustrate. Peter, James, John, Paul. Me? Richard. Chris. Donnie, Peggy. Julie, Esther. You know, that's all there is in the Bible. His names. Now, but you say, wait a minute, there's a lot in there. Yeah. You know what it is? That's the record of your life. As I said, you would only have Adam, Eve, Abel, Seth. This is for the point, you know. And that was all the names. But you see, then God didn't leave us that way because he knew we'd need those need to point, so he wrote what happened to Adam. He wrote what happened to Eve. Of what would take place on earth. Right? When did he write that? Sure, in his mind, he could put it down before the world. But why don't you get it this way? That before the world, he put the names down. And in his mind, he knew that Jesus Christ would have to die. Well, that was not a physical dying. And he knew he would write the rest of the book. What church are you listening? What you're reading is a record of that name while it's on earth. And even some had to have their names changed. Saul to Paul. Cephas to Peter. Had to have a name changed. We talk about Brother Branham, William, Marion Branham. 777. Right? Do you know that Brother Branham's original name was not Branham? It was Braham. How many of you know that? His daddy added the M to it, making her the N to it, which one had to be put in, make it Branham. Because only his daddy could do it, he couldn't change it himself. If he'd have changed it himself, he'd have been making himself something. But his father changed it. I'm glad my father changed my name, don't you? I got a pretty good name. My name's Samuel. I like that. It's in the Bible. Even the word Dale is in the Bible. We're talking about a valley. It ain't talking about people. Kingsdale. But, see, God has to make everything ready. See, Brother Branham would have been William Marion in six letters on the end one. So his daddy had to change his name and make it Branham. See, this book on earth, then, has got to match what's in heaven. Right? Are we still on the story of what I've been talking about? Looking up there to see what we are? We're not up there yet, you know it. You know, John was the type of the rapture. But you know what? Until we go there, we're not raptured. That's just like saying redemption was over in 63. Right? Do you see what I'm getting at? The book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne was the book of names. Then when life came down into being, then God started recording. And that's where you wind up that Brother Branham said there's two books. But he said it's not two books. He said it's only one book with two sections. Invisible Union, the Bride of Jesus Christ. Come on. Two sections of the same book. You got the book of life that Judas had even his name written there. But his name was not written in the Lamb's book of life section of eternal life. Earthly records then is what you're dealing with of the writings. But these are names. Moses, Aaron, Ezra, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, David, Solomon. But when they came to earth and lived their lives upon earth, then an earthly record was made that we call the Bible. An earthly record of all of those names. See, now you'll listen a minute, you'll understand something. But why that we must so important to realize the book of Revelation is talking about us. Because where would your name be? Come on, where's your name? There's no writing Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians. And I can't name them in order. Never have been able to. You're a preacher and can't do that. No, I cannot do it. Because I've never tried to remember it that way. I try to remember what's in the book instead of where it's at. Because I can go and get me a little tab and find out. If you notice, my Bible got little tabs in it. But listen, church. Without the book of Revelations and the understanding that has been brought to you and I, where would you find your name in the book? Oh. Some of you said, that's right. You realized it. Hey, Brother Dale has been saying something, hasn't he? The book of Revelations is where my name is at. He said, not Armand Neville. Now, Armand Neville's not written in the book. He said, but what is happening at the time Armand Neville is on earth is written in the book. So we go in there and we read Revelations 2 and then 3, and we find a seventh church age. And we find where we're at. And we're beginning to find our name in the book. Now, when we went over in chapter 4, did you lose all the names and only had the names that was in the book? No. My name's in the book. Why? Because I'm beginning to see what's taking place. Throw that book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Does it have to have all the records of your life? I hope not. Right? It's going to be hard to tear these pages out. Are you listening? And according to this book that's wrote about it, it says my name is erased. And my sins is put in the seal of his forgetfulness. And according to a message called Invisible Union, the prophet says, your old name and your old record is gone. Right? So then it's not Richard Addison, is it? It's not Samuel Dale. Brother Branham said it's the name that was written before the world. Right? What was your name? That's what's going to be. Somebody may be interested. Some of you come into the next Bible study. You know what the next one's going to be for next month? What does your name mean? The meaning of your name. I know of one in here that had their name changed because, well, another one don't go by the name. But one of them had it officially changed. On record. Because she didn't like her name. Another one doesn't go by her birth certificate record. Because you don't like it. What does your name mean? Might be interesting to see what all of our names turn out to mean. Right? Samuel, ask of God. Wade means wanderer. Dale means a pleasant valley. Ask of God while you're wandering through a pleasant valley. But you know, that's not my real name. That's not my real name. That's my earthly name from mom and daddy. My daddy was named Sam, and everybody says, well, your name is Sam. Well, there's no way of proving no records because nobody don't know. We just know whatever. That's why I don't worry about it. I don't mind you calling me Sam. I love it because it's my daddy in reflection. But please don't call me Sammy. I'm sorry. Now, if I'd have been raised with some of you at in the ages you're in, I might not have done it, but I'll bet you the people that are my age knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because there was a feller back in that age that, you know, I don't like him, and his name was Sammy. So don't call me Sammy. If there's a lady, I don't know where she's still living or not, in the Baptist church, if I seen her right now, she'd say, "Hey, Sammy, how you doing?" Well, you walk down the gills with women one day, and you know what they'll say? There's two or three of them there. You know what they'll say? "Hey, Sambo." What'd they say? I said, "Make sure that's little brown, not little black." Yeah. But listen, church. Our lives are written and put in the book of life. That makes up the Bible section of our lives. But in the Lamb's book of life, there's nothing but names. Because there's nothing against anybody that's there. That's only God's children. You know what? So if it was the book of redemption, see, that's why you foolish virgins and things is in the book of, it's called the book of life section. They're not in the Lamb's book of life of eternal section. I say eternal to define it. It's only a book. So this Bible has a record of my life and the age and time I live upon this earth. But there is a book that has only contained names. And no book can fit what that is. It can't be a scroll. It can't be a Thompson chain. Or a book that we call it. You know that we used to have in our home, and we still have the pictures. We used to have in our home, and everybody would really like it. You know, been at my home on the wall going down through the hallway. And we had the children from the time they were born. Here was like Wade, and I think it was, who was on top? Wade and Terrence and Anna. And up there would be Wade when he was born. And then in his little clothes coming along later and changing, being 4 years old, 3 years old. You know, it went down his life like that. Well, here was Terrence when he was born. It went down his life. And Anna when she was born. And went down through there. You ought to go get Anna somewhere she was born and look at Peggy's when she was born and look at little Abby Grace when she was born, and you'll see a lot of resemblance. You know? But my point is that we were trying to keep up with those things. And you know, one day I walked in there and I said, "Lord," I just pointed. "There's Wade. I wish he could have stayed right there." I looked down and I saw Terrence, and I said, pointed out a place on there, and I said, "Wish he could have stayed right there." Then I looked at Anna, and I said, "I wish he'd have stayed right there." Well, you know, that was a good daddy, a good thought. But they wasn't made for that. They was not made for that. They was not made to stop. You would be taking away their life. They were made to live their lives out and write a book about them. Right? Made to come to their own salvation. Listen, just try to get it short in a hurry. So then, when we're looking at it, it's the book of redemption. And only names is in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Now, would you please, then, if there's only names written in the book of the hand one, of the one sitting on the throne, would you please explain to me why so much emphasis is placed upon the white horse rider being the first seal? White horse rider's not the first seal. The seals is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've done read that today. Did you remember? The seals is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. You see Jesus Christ standing in a place That's what the fifth chapter is doing. It's putting Christ in a perspective that when that seal does break, you won't see him over there. You see him standing here, and there goes the white horse rider. But you see, that's why I know I'm not understood about some of those things that I make a statement, but think about it. The book that's in the hand of the one on the throne is just names. But it's revealing those names. And we come to earth and live out our natural life. But then we come to salvation. Would that not be when that name is picked up and understood? Right? And you wouldn't even know it. You just know the call. I hope you're listening. Because you see then, Hal would pull up the latch for number 9, I think it is. Got to get on because we're running late. Pull up number 9. The breach. Paragraph 146, 63, 317E. Jeremiah said this scroll must be kept. Now, I don't have time to get into Jeremiah. I've got it. The thing that was what I was using for the thing. Read Ezekiel, you get it better. Read in Jeremiah, but you get it in Ezekiel. That even in Ezekiel 2:10, and he said he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was writing therein lamentations and mournings and woe. You go to Jeremiah, and you'll see what Jeremiah was doing when they went into captivity. They took the records of who owned the land. They brought them together, and they buried them. They put them in earthly vessels and buried them. The deed, who owns this and who owns that, what this is your property and this belongs to who, they buried them. All right? And when they came back, they went and unearthed that, and they began to get those scrolls out and say, here it is now. James Colley, you own this. Here it is, Richard Marlowe, you own this. And they begin to tell you who was what. Right? But that was only speaking of this right here. Jeremiah said this scroll must be kept. As you read it there, he'd say, he must be kept in an earthly vessel. See? Oh, what a beautiful thing that I could talk about a while. This scroll was kept in an earthly vessel, a vessel that once became flesh, glory, died, rose again, and kept in an earthly vessel until the time of the purchase. Oh, my, beautifully. All right. Now keep reading. Now these messages. He's talking about Jesus Christ, right? Is that what Jeremiah's talking about? That's what the example was back there of the earthen vessel. It was one that was made flesh and dwelt amongst Jesus Christ in an earthly vessel. He was all the Word, right? You know that all of those names that was in the Lamb's Book of Life was in him when he was here. I had to bypass a lot of foreknowledge and a lot of things in there to try to bring out because it was ending up nearly four. Huh? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, even after he's made known, watch. All right, now, these messages are all kept up until this earthly vessel, until the time of God's appointed time, at the last messenger at the earth, and all that these people had judged at and said, I know it's there, I believe it's there, it's going to be brought forth. Down to these messages, he says, the seals. Are you catching on? Let me review just a second. Chapter 4, the rapture takes place. Chapter 5, you see the throne. One sitting on the throne. We found out that identically matches your new birth. Right? Because he's on the throne in your heart. And there's the bride of Jesus Christ in chapter 4 sitting not just on a throne like a throne here and all of us are sitting on it. That was the people of God down through the ages who would receive eternal life. That was his children. That was their names. Then you enter chapter 5. And you see the throne, and one sitting on the throne is our experiences and what's taking place now. And you see the right hand in power, as we ended this morning speaking about. The power of God is now in his bride. There is no power anywhere else. That's why he said for us to ask, for us to say. The power of God has been instilled into the bride of Jesus Christ. All right? You get anything now, you'll get it through the bride. All right? Now what are we saying? The book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne is the names of all of that bride. I hope you're seeing it. You're not seeing Jesus anywhere there by himself. You're seeing where he's at. He's in his church. He's in his bride here upon earth. Brother Brown said he would become visible among us and raise the dead, and we'd go into rapture. He said the corporal body doesn't come back until the millennium, so don't look for that. Look for the visibility of God through the revealed word. And the bride sitting on the throne. Now remember, the next stage of it is that there was a lamb came forth. Where does the lamb come from? Your own revelation has got to produce a lamb for you. It can't be mine. Got to be yours. Will your revelation stand the test? Will it fit the book of Revelations? You might begin to find out. I'll make this statement in hush. We are now in the scene of the book of Revelations chapter 5 on earth. How positive we are in that, I don't understand. I don't know because I ain't worried about it. But the scene is on earth. Now remember, all that we'll get to and we'll get into the seals and things, but just remember one thing. The seals are broke in heaven, handed down to the seventh angel. Read the breach. And then he breaks the seals here. This book is sealed, the prophet said, in heaven. But he said the thunder sound on earth. Those are laying there on my desk, so don't worry. A sound on earth. What about it? Are you beginning to realize that what's happening here is matching what happens there, because it's beginning to come into the same revelation? Plain language. The throne is in our heart. The one sitting on the throne is Almighty God, who has given eternal life. now we see that we are the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Are you ready? We are the book that's going to be revealed to Israel. Not as people going to Israel. Don't get the wrong idea now. Out there, somewhere else, you got to listen. As you say something I don't say, that's your business. I said it the way I meant it. We are the book that is to be revealed to Israel. What about it? You think that's a little too strong? You want a quote for it? Go over about the seventh seal where Brother Brown was talking about the 144,000 and two witnesses, and he tells you what they will tell Israel. Said you turned it down back there. But said there's a Gentile people become the bride of Jesus Christ. And said they're gone in a rapture now, and you're in the tribulation because you've rejected that. They turned down the right of sonship, and they never will have the right of sonship again. They will be servants to the bride. They will never have sonship allotted to them again. We have that sonship. Let's stand. Come on, musicians. Think on these things. Just because I'm not a great emotional, fast running to tangle your spine, I like for you to think. You're going to find out one of these days. I've been preaching all of these years about you. About you. If I see God anywhere, I got to see it in you. Right. You'll see that I've been talking about you. Then Brother Gary can go back and give you page number and paragraph for the seals where I said it in 82 and 83. He used to call me. He said, I can tell you the paragraph you're in, tell you the statement you're making. All right. You done a lot of riding from Atlanta to Alabama and all over the place. But you know, God helped him and revealed it. That's what we got, brother. $145. Anybody have a need? Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Can you see yourself? It's going to be you, Sister Kathy, that God is going to tell them Jews about you. Going to tell them people about you. No, not going to tell you about Jesus. Well, that's who I'm talking about. What's the difference between God and his children? There's no difference. He was God. He was equal with God. Thought it not robbery. And we are co-equal with him. Let me cling to thy guiding hand. Precious Jesus, take and hold me in thy strength, Lord, let me. Sing it unto him and think about him. precious Jesus, how I praise thee. You are all that my heart can see.
Precious Jesus.
The rest said, when you begin to see the Word, you're seeing Jesus. Is precious. You know, my wife and I, we've been together so long, we're beginning to look alike and act alike. But you know what? I spend time going out and working and hunting, different things. And it was a joy in the old days when she was able to hunt with me. We had a good time going and hunting together and camping out and doing things. But you know, time and pain and agonies that separated that part. But you see, a lot of you, if you had to change it, I have, to be able to get up of a morning and go. What would you be doing? But you know, I love to just get up and be myself. Me and my wife, we're together all the time. A lot of you would even say, I sure don't want to be around my husband all day. Maybe you and your husband need a new birth to help you. I love to be with my wife. I love to be with my kids. I love to be with the grandkids and the great-grandkids. My wife used to say, said, what you need to do, said, you needed to be an old bachelor. But you come by my office back there and you never find that door closed. Right? I go in my study at home, I don't close the door. Most of you know the layout of the house, and it used to be right there beside the den was my study. I never closed that door. Kids running through the house screaming and hollering and everything else. You see, I wasn't made for that. You say, but I'm just a loner. Well, that's your nature and your ways. But I'm not. I love to be with my family. I love to just have time with them and just sit around and talk. Work together and fellowship together. And I kind of think God likes his children that way. He likes to be around his children. Don't you want to be around God all day? Oh, wouldn't it be something if we could? Wouldn't it be something to be like Brother Branham was up there and that storm and everything, and then when he started, a voice said, why don't you just come and walk with me? What about it? Are we his children? Are we his offspring? Then an offspring of God is God in another form. That's why that we're in the hand of the book of the one. We're that book that's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Will your faith produce a lamb? Take the book for you. His Lord. Father, we thank you for the day and the hour that we've had. Thank you for your love and your grace unto us. And thank you for you. I pray that you'd go home with us now. I'm sorry for being a little late, Lord. And, you know, but just trying to help the people to see you. Just help us to understand, Father, and just walk in your love and your grace and be guided by thy Spirit. Forgive our sins and keep us, Lord. Be with everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. May we all walk in you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.